It is time for Kate's Corner. Kate's Corner today is brought to you by Pinpoint Tech. For custom-made solutions for your home or business, visit pinpointtech.com.
Who does your business call when your devices are on the fritz? Hi, this is Logan from Pinpoint Tech, your locally owned and operated IT solution. Ignoring the problem is never the answer. Whether it's a device or network management, IT support, or monthly service contracts, we've got you covered. We can also provide web design, remote service, backup and recovery, tech installation, and so much more. You can bring your equipment in to us, or we can come to you. For free consultation, please reach out to us on Facebook or give us a call at 816-629-6149.
All right, guys, we're back live with Kate's Corner. Kate Kelly here with you. I have a very special guest with me, Nicholas from Missouri Dog Training. He is an expert working with dogs and behavior training and all types of training. Welcome, Nicholas. I'm so happy that you're here today because I mean, you know, I think this is really important. So let's talk a little bit about what you do. Tell us a little bit what you do.
Well, I'm a local canine trainer. I am also a dog walker professionally. And I'm a pet owner. I also focus more on the working dog side of it as well.
And now, there's things that we need to talk. One of the first things that we need to talk about is how do you know you need a dog trainer? When does that happen? How do you realize that?
I always tell people the first time that you start to get overwhelmed and you're starting to backtrack your relationship with your pet, that's when you should start seeking out some sort of training, either through YouTube or TikTok. And if that doesn't actually work, find somebody that you've vetted out that you can trust with your four-legged family member.
And you know, you mentioned the good word vetted. Mm-hmm. How do you vet? How do you find that person? What do you look for? What do you look for in a dog trainer?
At first, you just want to go off of references. Contact the individuals that's also utilized the service of a pet trainer. Next thing you want to really look into is their training that they've received and their continuing education. There's no United States standard for dog training, so anybody can actually call themselves a trainer, which is unfortunate.
Yes.
I first off, like I said, vet the trainer through your friends, your contacts. Next, ask them for their certifications, and then the most important one is ask them their training method. Are they going to be positive reinforcement? Are they going to be very heavy-handed with negative reinforcement? Those are the ones I try to avoid, the one that goes straight for negative reinforcement. I think a lot of dog training is just based off of if the dog's calm, I'm calm, good things happen. So my philosophy is good things happen when we are calm, both the dog and the trainer or the owner. The next thing I would ask for is, are they licensed? Are they insured? Do they fit what you're looking for in a trainer? Are they kind to the dog? Will they let you do a meet and greet first? Uh-huh. Right? I think that's extremely important to see if the dog trainer is what you want. Is that dog trainer the best thing for your dog, right?
And listen to what the dog is saying, too, during that meeting.
Absolutely. You know, there's only one true expert in your dog, and that's you.
Yeah.
You're with your dog more than a dog trainer could ever be. Mm-hmm. Another thing that's also extremely important, ask them how hands-on can you be. If the dog trainer just takes your dog and trains it and doesn't allow you to be hands-on, you don't know what they're doing. Are they utilizing negative reinforcement? Are they yelling at your dog to get it to stop? What you want is the individual that's seeking out training for their dog to be a part of it as much as possible. Because after the training is over, when it's been instilled into them, that training is always going on, right?
And I think it's just as important for the owner to be trained as it is for the dog to be trained.
Absolutely. A lot of people know there's nothing brand new about dog training, mm-hmm. right? It's all out there. It's how can you put it together in a simple package to help the dog and the owner be successful, right?
Right.
So we just base off Pavlov. Mm-hmm. And another thing, if your dog trainer will not tell you what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, that's
It's a problem.
There's no secret sauce, right? Yeah. Let's show you how to do it. So 2 months down the road, that you want to utilize what you've learned as a pet owner to try to instill something new into your dog.
You know, and I do not speak as an expert. I mean, I've had pets my whole life. You know, Nicholas is the professional canine handler, and I'm just saying this from my own personal thoughts. I don't want to train my dog with fear. I don't want to use negative behavior with my dog. I want them to respect me and love me. I don't want them to fear me.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if that's the right way to think. But I just kind of feel like, you know, I mean, it should be positive reinforcement, at least, you know, at least until the last possibility, you know.
Absolutely. A dog trainer should understand that not everything that we're going to do will work.
Mm-hmm.
All dogs are different. Mm-hmm. We need to kind of take it in steps of what is the least amount of negative reinforcement we can use. Is it verbal? Is it separating the dog from the actual negative behavior we don't want? Mm-hmm. We have to start from the bottom and move up in the scale of negative reinforcement. If you go straight to yelling at the dog or utilizing a correction collar right out of the gate, mm-hmm. you're losing precious time to build a loving relationship between the dog. So think of this. If every time the dog does something that you don't like, mm-hmm. you are yelling, pulling on a collar, the dog may associate everything with fear, right? Like,
right.
I don't want to do something wrong because my owner's going to be upset.
Right.
Let's focus in on you do the right things, the awesome stuff, and we just pay you for that, mm-hmm. right? If you keep your dog engaged in you, and you're walking it regularly, and you're giving exercise, and you're allowing your dog to learn and explore, that trust will help you so far and way more than yelling, using a lot of negative reinforcement.
And your dog, you know, your dogs do love you, and they want to please you, and I can't stress that enough. I mean, Lacey, she has anxiety issues.
She's a good dog.
The apple does not fall far from the tree. And I noticed, go ahead.
Something that a lot of people really forget, and I tell this to the clients that I train with, and give yourself some grace and give your dog some grace. Mm-hmm. Remember, we are talking to a dog. We have the ability as humans to, if I'm upset with you or you're doing something I don't like, I can tell you and describe it, have a good dialogue.
Right.
People forget that you can have a dialogue with a dog through positive reinforcement, good leash communication, by exercising the dog, addressing things before they get really bad.
Mm-hmm.
A prime example is you're walking your dog on a leash and your dog's being really calm and you're having a great time. Dog sniffing, and in the distance, you see another person walking with a dog, and that dog's not in control, mm-hmm. right? That dog's all over the place, barking, yapping. Our dog is doing, you know, having a great time walking structurally. It's our job to recognize that in front of us and kind of think, is this situation that I'm bringing my dog in going to be beneficial? Uh-huh. And maybe I just need to turn around, walk the other direction. Or maybe I have to be like, hey, how are you? From a distance. My dog's kind of training. May we approach? Uh-huh. Certain things like that. We have to be our dog's biggest advocate, as well as we want to put them in a successful situation.
Exactly.
I think sometimes we forget that our dogs are still dogs, right?
Yep.
They're descendants from wolves.
Sometimes I don't view Lacey as a dog. I mean, I associate human characteristics to Lacey. That's my kid. But I do need to stop.
No. Don't ever stop. Here's what I tell people. When it comes to the positive stuff, mm-hmm. talking to your dog, they understand that. Mm-hmm. They don't understand full sentences, but they understand context of what we're asking, mm-hmm. if they've associated it with positive reinforcement. the easiest thing to just get Pavlov, his experiment, pulling it down to the easiest thing is we ask the dog to do something. Mm-hmm. The dog does it. The dog gets the reward. You know, when you want to switch that, we ask the dog to do something. The dog doesn't get it. We withhold the reward. That's Pavlov in its smallest form. We ask the dog to do something. The dog does it. The dog gets the reward.
That makes sense.
Yeah. There's nothing new underneath the sun in dog training. It's just understanding, like, what can we do as a pet owner and a trainer together to take your good dog and turn it into a great dog.
Now, what are some of the behavioral issues that you do deal with? What have you seen? What are some of the things that you've seen?
First, I like to just talk about structured walking. Mm-hmm. The more exercise your dog gets, the less likely they're going to be bored and get into things. A lot of people stress out once they put the collar and the leash on a dog to bring them to the vet because the dog's pulling them all over the place. And we start to get frustrated. The first thing I tell people, put a leash on the dog in your house and let them drag it around for a little while. Let them get used to it. Pick the leash up. If they start to pull, set it down. Set it down. Take some time. If I told you, hey, I'm going to be walking you from this place to this place, at first you're going to be like, no, mm-mm.
You're not doing that.
And remember, we can communicate via language with the dog. It's all about the situation, the body posture, the communication we're doing nonverbally. If you start pulling on the leash, we're just telling the dog, like, I am going to control you. I want a dog to make the decision to walk with me. You know,
that's a great idea. I'm thinking that never entered my mind.
Yeah. So dog pulling away from you while you're holding a leash is called opposition reflex. Mm-hmm. I pull back on the leash. The dog goes forward. Right. And he's thinking it's great. But the issue is we're not in control of them, especially if they have a flat collar on or a regular collar. We could be causing them pain or hurting their trachea. You know, the very first thing. Start that dialogue with a leash, because once your dog is fine on a leash, you can stop the dog from running away. You can stop the dog from getting into dog fights, getting into things we don't want, right? Mm-hmm. And that also is an easy way for you to start doing the Pavlov. I put the leash on the dog walks correctly, he gets praise, he gets to explore. We put the collar on the dog pulls away, we drop the leash. So they don't associate the leash with a negative reinforcement.
I never thought about that.
It just takes time, patience, and grace on your part as well as towards your dog.
Dogs deal with mental health issues just like people do. And this is Mental Health Awareness Month, folks. So, not only the two-legged people have mental health issues, so do the four-legged ones. And I'm sure you've worked with many of them.
Absolutely. I love that feeling of when you finally, that dog, they ask for so little, but give us so much, right?
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things, the dog just wants to play with you, be fed, and a place to sleep. Mm-hmm. But they give us emotional support, grounding, the fact that anytime we leave and come back, even if it's 2 hours, 15 minutes, that animal is extremely excited to see you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, yes. I'm a married guy and I love leaving and coming home and my wife's super excited about me.
Yep.
But you know what? Sometimes I leave and, you know, I come back and I'm late or I'm anything like that. Your dogs and they don't catch that concept.
No.
Right? They're just like happy to see you.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think some deal with separation anxiety, maybe because they were abandoned before.
Yeah.
So that's how do you handle stuff like that?
So first off, to avoid that, let's start with just the little tips to avoid the kind of the separation anxiety. Biggest thing is, first, let's start crating our dogs. Crating gives the dog a place of its own, right? I train my clients and friends and family members. The crate is not a punishment tool. It's a, hey, I want you to have your space. This is your home. I want to put you in it while I'm gone. So you're structured. You're not hurting yourself, hurting property, getting out, getting into things that could hurt them. As well, it's Have you ever noticed, like, dogs like to be in small spaces? Like, they'll go underneath, you know, tables, right underneath your feet.
Yep.
It's in their nature, but at first they correlate with mom or dad's leaving or the pet owner's leaving, and they're in a hurry, so they have to jam the dog into it. And it's not their fault. It's not the owner's fault. It's just the dog is associating it, right?
Yeah.
Mom and dad are super excited, or they have to go somewhere right now, so they have to get their dog into the crate as fast as possible. And a lot of the time it's literally just baiting them in there with food or just pushing them in, so the dog starts relating the kennel as, all right, I'm gonna be put in it, mom and dad are leaving, this is a bad situation. And that leads to crate anxiety, separation anxiety, destruction of property. We all know those amazing dogs that could Houdini out of any crate. It's so funny.
Yes, yes. I can't believe we've been talking as long as we have. But yeah. I can talk to you. I can talk to you for hours. I wouldn't have a job to come back to tomorrow if I did. But I can talk to you for hours. Anything you want to say in closing?
Just remember, good things happen when we are calm. And I say we as the dog's calm, I'm calm. The dog's calm, you're calm. Right?
That's true.
Give yourself some grace when it comes towards your dog making accidents, and give your dog some grace too, right?
That's really true, you know. And you know, Nicholas knows he can make good dogs into great dogs.
That's all I want to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Nicholas. He is from Missouri Dog Training, and I am so thankful you came today, and I thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's absolutely my pleasure. We spotted the ocean, the head of the trail. Where